Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
Girl team dance is huge. The Rangerettes, the Apache Bells, and all of that is where it all originated.
A new performing arts studio held its grand opening in Moorhead this week.
County rankings on vaccination participation has been reported.
West Virginia's governor is offering an incentive for vaccines.
A museum in Ashland will reopen this weekend.
Business owners are excited about a return to normal.
In sports, area teams are on the practice field tonight, gearing up for the weekend play.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight with a low around 64. We'll have an extended look at your weather after this news.
A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held for a new business in Moorhead this week. Nexus Point is a performing arts studio that opened its doors in Pinecrest Plaza late last year. The studio primarily focuses on dance currently, but plans to expand into areas such as music, vocal performance, and acting. Heather Hodson started the business with her daughter, Hallie, and daughter-in-law, Alexandria. She says much of Alexandria's experience comes from the Texas drill team circuit, while Hallie pushed her goals at Moorhead State University.
Moorhead was just awesome because she got a university studies degree, but it allowed her to take all dance classes. It allowed her to also take kinesiology classes so she could learn about injury prevention and the anatomy and physiology of the body and everything while she was taking the dance classes. And it was just, she was able to literally create the degree that she needed to have for the specific career that she was going to have.
Children age 3 through high school graduation can take classes at Nexus Point, but Hodson says they hope to offer classes for adults in the future. More information can be found online at nexuspoint.org, as well as on Facebook and Instagram.
Woodford County is leading the state in vaccination rates with 43.2% of its total population vaccinated. Kentucky is one of the leading states in vaccination rates with nearly 30% of the total population vaccinated. Casey Prather is the Woodford County Health Department Public Health Director. She tells LAX18 much of the county's success can be credited to efforts to get the word out and being mindful about location sites.
We had clinics at churches. We had clinics at work sites.
Franklin and Fayette counties are next in line with 42.6% fully vaccinated in Franklin County and 39.7% in Fayette County. And at the bottom of the ranks in vaccination rate is Spencer County with 12.5% fully vaccinated.
The state is hoping to increase vaccination totals by offering incentives to urge people to get the vaccine. It's a race to get to 2.5 million Kentuckians vaccinated and to shed some capacity restrictions and curfews. That's according to the governor. Andy Beshear tells WKYT he'll announce incentives here in the Commonwealth throughout the next couple of weeks.
We're going to announce some different incentives here over the next couple weeks to try to get people in. We are not to the group of people that right now don't want to get vaccinated. We're the group of people we got to make it convenient for.
Businesses across the area are also getting creative help. Many employers are offering paid time off for appointments and education on the importance of the shot.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice announced a new incentive to get people vaccinated. WMKY's Sarah Mead has more.
Governor Justice announced Monday that West Virginia will offer a $100 savings bond to residents between 16 and 35 years of age who get COVID-19 vaccinations. The initiative will apply retroactively to people in the age group who have already gotten their shots. The Republican governor plans to use emergency funding from the CARES Act to pay for the bonds. Justice tells WSAZ the goal is to get more than 70% of West Virginia's eligible population vaccinated. Around 52% of West Virginia's eligible adults have received at least one dose. As of Monday, the state's health department recorded over 150,000 total coronavirus cases and 2,821 deaths since the start of the pandemic. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
The Highlands Museum and Discovery Center in Ashland is reopening its doors this weekend after a pandemic-related hiatus. A host of special activities are planned for opening day, including the debut of a new Derby Day-themed exhibit with an Ashland connection. Highlands Director Carol Allen says she's excited to welcome visitors back to the downtown Ashland Museum.
We're going to have exciting things for the children. There will be a craft hour, and then we have Gary Bussa, who has discoveries. So he's going to be here with his new book, reading to children, and then the people will be able to browse around through the exhibit.
The Derby-themed exhibit features items from the over-the-top Derby parties that were thrown by the late Anita Madden, wife of Hamburg Place horse farm owner Preston Madden. Anita Madden grew up in Ashland, and her family has donated the items that include elaborate costumes for a temporary display at the Highlands through August. The Artist Corner exhibit featuring works by local artists will also be on display. And beginning Saturday, the museum will be open weekly from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday through Friday and until 6 p.m. on Saturdays.
With masks and social distancing guidelines slowly fading out, business owners are excited to get back to normal life. Queenslake Farm is a 140-acre facility which hosts a bed and breakfast, horse boarding, and outdoor events which were postponed due to health and safety guidelines. Co-owner John Camilla tells WKYT the governor knows what is best for Kentucky.
You know, the governor say it's safe now. And we know that this governor is somebody that also values human life more than he values, you know, anything else. It's his number one priority. And when he says it, I think it's going to create a psychological shift for Kentuckians and people that are coming through Kentucky.
In celebration, Queenslake is hosting a barbecue event for the community on Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. It is the first large event they will host after the news of easing mask restrictions.
Fayette County parents have until Friday night to request what's being called a do-over or a supplemental schooling for students who feel left behind after a year of remote learning. The option to repeat classes is ultimately in the hands of the school board. Under a state law passed this year, Kentucky school districts can choose whether or not to offer students the chance to repeat or supplement classes that were interrupted by the pandemic. In Fayette County, district leaders plan to compile the request and examine whether the idea is feasible. Interim Superintendent Marlene Helms says a number of factors will go into the school board's decision. And while it's too early to speculate on what they might decide, Helms says there are some early indicators that a full do-over might not be the best remedy for many students.
Remarkably, our teachers are saying that they're finding that the students are really doing well, that they're not picking up on this major learning loss that, you know, we keep hearing about. So I think, we'll be testing pretty soon, starting in May, and we'll know a little bit more at the end of the school year, and then we'll use the summer to plan and be ready for the fall.
The school board's final decision will come before June 1st.
As vaccination campaigns shift their attention to younger audiences, Lexington and the Fayette County school system brought the shots directly to students and their families at area high schools this week. The high school-based clinics are expected to vaccinate around 1,000 students, families, and staff, and with cases and quarantining on the rise in the final weeks of the school year, the recipients are also hearing some caveats. COVID director for Wild Health, Dr. Luke Murray, shares those.
Just because you're getting vaccinated today does not mean you can throw your mask away. It does not mean you can stop social distancing. It does not mean you can stop washing your hands.
Murray says students will be tested for the virus at the same time. Of the students who feel side effects the next day, some few dozen are likely to actually be infected with COVID.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a chance of showers in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 78. Thursday night showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 50 degrees. Friday mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high near 62. Friday night mostly clear, a low around 37 degrees. And for your Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees.
On our feature segment today, residents of the North Fork Mobile Home Park have to leave their homes by the end of the week, and many are facing difficulties, including the possibility of being homeless. As WMKY's Leanne Akers reports, a local organization is doing what they can to help.
Well, we received an anonymous $20,000 gift to help people avoid homelessness. I started a conversation with the donor back in December, and the donor was really interested in trying to help people locally and was looking for an organization that could figure out how to evaluate needs and try and make the best use of the money possible.
That's Tom Manning Beaven, the president and CEO of Frontier Housing in Moorhead. His organization was created in 1974 to be a resource for Eastern Kentuckians in need of housing opportunities, a mission which places it in the unique position to help displaced residents. North Fork Mobile Home Park was home to nearly 100 homes when the city and county officials agreed to create a tax increment financing district in December, paving the way for the sale and development of the property. Residents were given 45 days to vacate after the property. Residents were given 45 days to vacate after the property officially sold to a developer. Manning Beaven says many of those affected could fall through the cracks.
Lots of residents there who own the unit in which they live, but they rent the land. The land is getting sold out from under them. Some churches have provided some additional funds, and then some individuals also have donated to us for that fund. That's how we've come to this point. We have some money. With residents at North Fork, we spent, I think, over $14,000 helping people relocate. And we've got some in the pipeline where we haven't dispersed funds yet, but we've earmarked them.
The organization has distributed information about movers and other mobile home parks, but Manning Beaven knows for some, it isn't enough.
This is going to be hard for people to put a plan together. And we were trying to put resources in people's hands. And then we also have a housing counselor on staff that has been working with people to try and come up with plans of action.
Manning Beaven says Frontier has created an application process for those in need, which is similar to the process they already have in place.
Understanding that there's a lot of desperation and a lot of fear, and we want to be able to move as quickly as possible. So we did take a look at our process, and we made it simpler. I think we made it significantly simpler. What we aren't doing is just taking a name and writing a check to somebody. We're still trying to get enough information to actually get a feel for the actual need and understand what the actual plan is.
Frontier Housing has been able to help 16 families relocate so far.
In some cases, we've helped people who don't have funds saved, help them make security deposits. They're leaving, they've got some place to go, but they need that cash to put deposits down. We've done that. We've helped people pay the mover. We've tried to streamline the process and do what we could while still trying to be good stewards of the money.
Manning Beaven says the North Fork issue has highlighted a lack of affordable housing in the region.
Any university town, rental real estate is going to be driven by the bedroom, and that's going to create challenges for the rest of the real estate market. We don't have enough, particularly, I would say, we don't have enough affordable housing for families. Invariably, families end up competing for rental property with students, and that just becomes an expensive competition.
Frontier Housing is still accepting applications for grants to assist the residents of North Fork. More information is available on the organization's website or by calling 606-784-2131. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Round County, and all of Eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen and Betty Keene can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under Eisen Insurance Agency.
It's 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Heather Fannin has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us in the middle of the work week.
It's a quiet night on the practice field for area teams. For WMKY Sports, I'm Heather Fannin. The Morehead State Beach Volleyball team is gearing up for the very first Ohio Valley Conference Beach Volleyball Tournament tomorrow. The 10-1 Eagles are going into the competition with a season championship and the number one seed in the championship with a 4-1 defeat of UT Martin on Sunday. Head coach Kristen Becker says her staff has been busy making scouting reports on whatever teams they might face.
One of the nice things is for the OVC tournament, once you lock in your 1-5, they stay there. So we know if we play Austin Peay, we know what the matchup is because it can't change. And so we're going through and watching film on the past couple weekends just to pull some things together. So when we find out who we play, we just have a simple sheet that we can give to our pairs and say, this is who you're playing, these are our strengths, and this is how they match up against that team.
The Eagles will face off with the winner of the Austin Peay and Jacksonville State game. First serve for Morehead is set for 5 p.m. The Morehead State softball team is on the practice field this week after going 1-2 with Jacksonville State at home over the weekend. The Eagles stand at 11-24 on the season, going into a 3-game series with SIU Edwardsville at home this weekend. Head coach Samantha Jones says for the most part, her team is healthy and focused on this weekend's play.
Clean up on some bruises here and there, some soreness, but that's obviously with a season that you have in baseball and softball. It just kind of comes with the territory. So overall, I think they're doing a good job of balancing, you know, their health physically but also mentally.
A doubleheader on Saturday at University Field is set for 1 p.m. The two teams will face off at the same time for Game 3 on Sunday. The Eagle baseball team is gearing up for a 4-game series with Murray State this weekend. MSU is coming off a 2-1 weekend at Jacksonville State, while the 21-16 Racers swept Eastern Kentucky University during the club's alumni weekend. Morehead head coach Mick Aoki says he's been asking a lot of Jack Gardner this season.
With Brody Shoup gotten hurt at the, you know, just before the season opened up, and he is not, you know, he's out for the year. Jack is he's catching a lot, and it's a pretty physically demanding position. So for him to continue to produce offensively and do a good job behind the plate, I think has been important.
A doubleheader Friday is set to begin at 1 p.m. Tickets are still available at msueagles.com. The Round County Senior High School baseball team is off this evening after playing Fleming County on back-to-back nights. The Vikings got the road win Monday night 18-5, then turned around to win at home last night 11-1. Assistant coach Rob Ward says he's glad to see his guys doing so well as they continue to push through their adjustment period.
I think it's going to be a big week for us. You know, if we come out with some wins, it'll be a big week. Turn the page to May, and that's when we start focusing on the tournament and getting ready for that. So three big games for our boys. I think they're ready to go, and they're ready to do their best to come out with some W's.
Rowan will be on the road for the rest of the week. They'll be in Bath County tomorrow for a 5:30 matchup with the Wildcats. The Round County Senior High School softball team is off this evening as well. The Vikings were on the road to take on Fleming County last night, where they came out on top 7-6. Head coach Larry Sloan says as his girls continue to work out the kinks, he's been experimenting with bringing some of the younger members to the club as well.
You know, we've got a really good 8th grade and 7th grade class coming out of the middle school, and I've been trying to use them a little bit, transition them in. At catcher and infield, because Haven's been gone playing basketball some, and when she's gone, I don't have another shortstop, so I usually bring up somebody from the middle school to try to help us.
Rowan will be back at home tomorrow evening for a senior night matchup against Elliott County. That game is set for 6 o'clock. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Heather Fannin.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 closed around the flat line after the Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged in its latest policy decision and hinted that it would keep easy monetary policy where it is for some time despite a strengthening economy and rising inflation. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were actually down 164.55 at 33,820.38. The S&P 500 was down 3.54 at 4183.18. So the broader market stronger than the Dow. The NASDAQ was down 39.18 at 14,051.03. The NASDAQ was certainly affected by Amgen, as was the Dow Industrials, as Amgen stock was down 7.2% on disappointing earnings. And as mentioned, the Federal Reserve wrapped up its two-day policy meeting where the central bank left rates near zero. The Fed upgraded its assessment of the economy and acknowledged inflation was rising. Boeing lost nearly 3% after the aviation company posted its sixth straight quarterly loss, which also weighed on the Dow Industrials. And Google parent Alphabet reported better-than-expected earnings after the bell yesterday, sending shares today up 3%. Alphabet saw its revenues grow 34% from a year ago. Microsoft dipped 2.8% even after the company topped analyst estimates. Microsoft had its largest revenue growth since 2018, thanks in part to gains in PC sales resulting from coronavirus-driven shortages last year. Apple and Facebook both report earnings after the close today. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.38% at $63.81 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,782. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,782 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, AppHarvest was up 14 cents at $17.57. CSX down 42 cents at $101.50. Marathon Petroleum up $1.55 at $55.44. U.S. Bancorp up 65 cents at $58.97. Kroger was down 12 cents at $36.65. And Humana was down $10.18, finishing at $438.62. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Rachel Turner, Sarah Mead, Jonathan Burton, and Heather Fannin. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from my interview with Frontier Housing CEO Tom Manning Beaven. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.